Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 150 for May 5th, 2010, Swift FM. Net at Night is brought to you by GoTo Training. Improve learning, participation, and access to training programs and save a bunch with GoTo Training. For a free trial, visit GoToTraining.com. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Where it's blinding up. Hi, Toronto. I mean, hi,
Hello.
Amber.
I know, it's confusing. Yes, it is definitely heating up in Toronto. We have moved well beyond patio weather, and it feels like summertime. And we've had a couple of days where it's really mugging, and I'm just kind of on the fence in terms of turning on the air conditioning. It seems early, but I might have to do it if this lasts for another day.
So I understand from our chat room, which knows all, and apparently there's a weather person in the chat room, that cold and rain should come any minute now to Toronto.
You know what? The skies look like they're almost about to really open up. It's one of these days where it's really sunny and muggy, but then you see these dark clouds kind of looming in the distance, and you just know, you know, it's going to, there's going to be some rain soon. So I think that would be okay just to cool things down. I'm all right with that, Leo.
Who do we have on the show? I know we have a guest.
Yes, today we have a guest. He's the founder of Swift.fm. His name is Edward, hopefully A10, maybe A10, we're not sure. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about Swift and how he started it. I'm not sure if you've used it before, but I was playing around with it this afternoon. It's a very simple idea. It allows you to kind of tweet and share music with friends of yours. So you upload a file, send out a message, and then someone can listen to a song that you have just tweeted. So I just did it with a song by Young Artist for Haiti. And, you know, it's just a simple little tool that he's developed, and he's trying to obviously grow it into bigger and better things.
So it's kind of like Blip FM, right? We did the Blip FM thing, right?
Yeah, it's very similar. I think you did Blip with Sarah, and I don't use Blip a lot, so I'm not as familiar with it, but I think it's pretty similar, although I think it's even more simplistic in some ways. So hopefully Edward will give us all the details on that.
I'm just looking at your tweet here, testing out Swift FM with Young Artist for Haiti. Cool. So, and then I can see the Swift FM, and then I click the link, and it takes me to Swift FM, and there's the song?
Yeah, you can play the song right there. So, what you do from your computer is you upload it to Swift FM, and you share. I mean, I have a whole bunch of questions to ask him in terms
of. There's the song. Yeah, I clicked the link, and there's the song.
And I don't even need to. I don't even want to share my latest stance.
Yeah, and I don't need to even log in, which is kind of nice. That's great.
I like that. That's what I mean. It's very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking with Edward in just a little bit. But before we do, as always, a few links from the interwebs.
You know, Leo, I feel as though I'm going to be missing so many things because it's a lot of news. And every once in a while, we have those weeks. And this was one of them. You'll probably cover this a little bit more on your Google show. But Google announced that their e-book store is opening up this summer.
What? Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so people will be able to buy books from their store. They're also going to allow book retailers to go online and sell books through their store, and they'll get a big percentage of the revenue from that.
So is this going after Amazon's Kindle store, or is it?
It seems that way. I mean, I think the difference here is that the content, as far as I understand it, is not going to be wrapped in DRM. So the files will be more easily shareable across multiple devices. And that makes it kind of interesting. And also,
you won't get the best sellers because they'll want copy protection on the next Dan Brown novel.
But it would be great for people who want to self-publish, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to end up signing up with them. I think it's interesting because I don't know about you, Leo, but every time I turn around recently, it seems like someone is talking about a new ebook reader or ebook store, and there's so much competition that it's really saturated right now. I don't know. Do you use a reader at all, Leo?
I used to use a Kindle, and I have the Barnes & Noble Nook. I don't know if you can get that in Canada. I know you can get the Kindle in Canada.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But now I use the iPad for almost everything because my Kindle books are on here. Yes. It's interesting because this shocked me. There was a book I wanted to read called Happy by a guy named Ian Smith. Okay. And I'd seen him on TV and I thought, oh, that sounds like a good book. And I went, as I want to do, I went to Audible first. And yes, they had it on audible.com. In fact, I'm going to make that my pick this week. And then I went to the Amazon store to see if it was on the Kindle, and it wasn't. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Usually if it's, because Amazon owns Audible, if it's on Audible, it's on Kindle. And then I went to the Apple store just to see, and it was on the iPad iBook store.
Huh.
So this is not good, I think, for consumers. Because, you know, if you go to a bookstore, you could presume they're going to have books from everybody.
Everything. I know. It's getting so confusing. I mean, I actually just recently have been testing out the Sony Reader, and I don't know what it's like in the States, but one thing I like about this, and this is mostly for Chris, because he reads a lot of books, is that you can rent books from the library on the Sony Reader.
Right, yes.
And that's kind of a cool thing. I mean, but there's just, I mean, it is confusing with all the bookstores. Where do you buy the content? How do you determine, you know, what books might be available? And it's definitely becoming a very confusing space, I think.
Yeah, and of course, some publishers really don't like Amazon's way of doing things. I just don't, because, you know, Amazon isn't like a bookseller, like just a bookstore. Mm-hmm. Amazon says, we tell you how much to charge, and we take a fixed percentage of that. We determine that, not you as the book publisher. And, you know, book publishers, they don't like that idea. Apple's saying you charge whatever you want, we'll take 30%. I don't know what Google's going to do. It doesn't seem to me that Google is going to compete with Random House books, you know, or Penguin books. It doesn't seem like those guys will use a non-copy protected service. So I wonder if this has to do with the Google book search. Remember, part of the Google book search deal was they wanted to be able to publish out of print books that were out of copyright, or that the copyright owner didn't assert the copyright to. Maybe that's what this is for.
I think that definitely is part of it. I read the article on Read Write Web, and they mentioned that as well. So I think that is definitely one component. One thing that's interesting as well about the article, they mentioned that Google plans to highlight these ebooks on its own book search engine. So if users are looking for kind of one destination to go, that might become it. So I don't know. All I know is, you know, my book's coming out next month, Leo, and the whole view that publishers have on ebooks and audiobooks, and it's very competitive right now. So book publishing industry has experienced a ton of change. I mean, we don't talk about that much. We talk about newspapers, but the book world, I think, is even more competitive.
You know, I think that in some ways, Apple has set the tone for this conversation, unfortunately. It used to be, if you made computers, and anybody wanted to run the software or whatever would run the software, or if you were a software company or a web company, you'd do your business and that'd be it. And now, because Apple has shown how profitable it is to make the hardware, to make the software, or tightly control the software, to sell the material, to own the store, you know, to get it from soup to nuts, you got it, the whole deal. It's such a success for Apple that you're seeing, I think, other companies say, oh, we kind of like to get in on that.
You could do it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's a new reader that launched in Canada recently. I think it's elsewhere as well, but it's called the Kobo Reader, and that originated actually as an ebook reader from just one specific online bookstore. So they wanted to kind of do the same thing and go after that market and fight against some of the competition that's out there. So I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the news, Leo, with the iPads, that they've just surpassed 1 million in sales in the U.S.
Yeah.
So phenomenal growth. And books
that's, by the way, more than, I don't think Kindle sold 1 million units. I think it's got to be more than the Kindle now. So if you're a publisher, you're going to say, boy, I can't just be in the Amazon bookstore. But Amazon says, well, you better not be in. You know, these guys are, it's tooth and nail now. They want to control everything.
I went and on my website, on my book page, I initially just put up a link to Amazon, just being naive and not knowing that, okay, well, people can buy these books from other retailers online. And my publisher contacted me right away and said, you have to put all of the retailers where this is available. And so I had to put like 8 links up there because of the competition, you know? So, because Amazon kind of charges forward, and I guess there's a lot of jealousy from some of the other e-retailers, and they want to do things differently as well.
You know, it's interesting about that Kobo that you talked about. It's only $150.
No, Leo, it's really reasonably priced. I got a chance to review one last week, and I will say that it's nice. It's very lightweight, like many of the readers. It feels like a little bit, I don't want to say cheap, but it feels like something a teenager would get a lot of use out of. In the sense that it's not all that durable. It's almost, it's not like throwaway or anything, but it's still, the price point is amazing on that. So
same screen, but I bet it doesn't have wireless for that price.
It doesn't have wireless, and it does come preloaded with 100 books. Oh. So 100 free books, that's pretty sweet as far as $150 and 100 free books as well. So I think they're going to, you know, definitely put a dent in the sales of some of the other major readers, at least in Canada.
I have a
just because of the price point.
Both the Kindle and the Nook, I like them a lot, but it's all iPad for me now.
Yeah,
really
all
is.
iPad.
Yeah, everything. I just like live with my iPad. I might just have it glued to my face. It's gonna be like this. Oh, there goes Leo with his glued on iPad. We're gonna take a break. Come back with more of the latest from the web 2.0. Amber MacArthur, the great Amber MacArthur from AmberMac.com. Amber Mac is your Twitter handle too, right?
It sure is.
At Amber Mac. And, of course, CommandN.TV. More in just a moment. Before we go too much farther, I should give a little plug, a little shout out to our friends at Audible.com. Since we're talking about reading, and I am such an Audible fan, when I'm at the gym, you know, you'll only see me with headphones on. And it'll be headphones because I'm listening not to Lady Gaga. I want to use my time wisely. I'm listening to great books at Audible.com. I'll show you the latest book I'm listening to from Audible.com. I mentioned this. Dr. Ian K. Smith. He wrote a bunch of diet books. But I saw him, I think it was on one of the news channels, talking about the keys to happiness. And I just remember one. He said, talk to a stranger every day. And I thought, well, that's interesting. He said, because it's about being connected, right? So I tried it. And it's true. I'm happier. It's fun. I like it. It's connecting me.
I've heard of that book. Yeah, it sounds like
Let me play a little bit. This is Ian Smith. He's a nice guy, too. You can tell he's happy. He's a happy fella.
Started beach before breakfast. My evening session proved a little trickier, however. Because of the time difference,
This is a story. He's telling a story about how he was in Indonesia on a vacation.
This gave me the best.
And he learned
with people in the States
from this poor Indonesian driver who came to pick him up in the middle of the night, but who seems very happy. And he asked the guy, do you have a computer? No. You have a TV? No. You think you'll ever get to New York City? No, I can't afford it. He said, how much do you make a month? He said, $200 a month, but we're really happy.
A bit unnerving.
Amazing.
And it made him, Dr. Smith, think, I wonder about my New York City, you know, Fifth Avenue lifestyle. Is it really making me happy? That's the beginning of the book.
And within minutes, a golf cart appeared outside the villa, manned by a driver, always offering a smile and a bottle of chilled water, regardless of the hour.
So really a neat book. Simple Steps to Get the Most Out of Life. But it's just one of many. You know, there's 75,000 books. Maybe you're a grumpy person. Maybe you don't want to be happy. Maybe you'd like to read something scary. Something mysterious, a thriller, or a romance. There are plenty of romance books here as well. Science and technology, sci-fi and fantasy. It's all here. Audible.com, 75,000 titles. Ooh, the new, speaking of romance, Diana Gabaldon novel is out. Dragonfly in Amber. I don't know who this dragonfly is, but I think...
You know who Amber is.
I know who Amber is. Davina Porter reads it. She is one of my favorite readers because she has such a poncy British accent. Listen, this is so, I love her stuff. She read Outlander, which I loved.
His late adoptive father had lived a long, full life. A good 10 years past his biblically allotted 70.
I'm also listening to her Mists of Avalon. She reads Mists of Avalon. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm going on and on. Just go to audible.com. If you go to audible.com/night, you can sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month. Your first one's free, and you can cancel it any time, and you get to keep the book. So it's a good way to just pick a book. Pick a long one like this. This is 38 hours. The happiness book is 4 hours, but Dragonfly and Amber, 38 hours, almost 39. I don't know. Maybe happy's easy.
Wow.
Amber's hard. But if you want to try a book, this is the place to go. Listen to your first book, and then you tell me if you want to stick around. I bet you will. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support for Net at Night. See, Google
and Audible
do all the...
is the only place to go to get audiobooks, so that's good.
There really isn't any competition. You know, I wish Google would do audiobooks. Then I'd be interested. But,
Leo, how much production is involved in an audiobook?
Oh, it's a because, you know, I did one.
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah. Right?
It was 15 minutes long. It took me like 3 hours to do. Because, so you're in a booth, and there's a glass wall, and then on the other side of the glass is the producer and the engineer, and the engineer is sitting here, and they record it all digitally now. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like a regular radio station. You're reading into the, they give you a script. They can't give you the book because you hear the pages turn, so they put it on pieces of paper. And then it's bigger to read, and you can write on it, that kind of thing. And the producer's sitting there listening like a hawk. And so you'd read a sentence, and then she stood up and saw him outlined in the door. And he said, could you do that again a little slower? Could you do it a little faster? Could you do it without that weird accent? I mean, so you end up doing the thing, you know. But they were very nice to me. And it was fun, but it's painful. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I can see why a lot of authors don't read their own books. But you should read your own book. Are you going to do an audio version?
Yeah. Well, I'm working at the deals right now with my publisher because they have the rights to any audio versions of the book, but it's not really a huge priority for them to do an audio version. So I'm actually trying to get the rights back so that I can do it. So, and they're being pretty flexible about it. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed, because I would definitely want to do it.
I think that's great. And I'll help you with that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think it's great. I think you should absolutely do it. I'm a big audiobook fan.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to.
So what's this about embeddable tweets?
So embeddable tweets launch. Okay, so I think that I understand this story. And it's very simple in the sense that sometimes if you see a tweet online, you may look at it like a really important quote in your life, and you may want to embed it onto your website or onto a web page somewhere. So this service that Twitter just launched allows you to do that really easily just by getting a snippet of code. So you input the URL of the tweet that you want. It outputs code. It's really long code right now. They say they're going to shorten it. And you can paste that tweet up somewhere online. Now, I don't know if there's really a huge practical use for this. I mean, I might do it once in a while,
do you ever post tweets on your webpage?
I do. And you know what? They're right in the sense that then you have to go in and get a screen capture of that tweet, and then you can't size them properly if you do multiple tweets. So I think in that sense, this is kind of a cool thing.
So I'll give you an example.
See.
You know, a lot of times people will take like, this is your tweet. And they'll take your tweet and they'll take a screen capture. So instead, you go to media.twitter.com/blackbirdpie. You get the reference?
No, I don't.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. Called for his pipe and he called for his bowl. Man, he liked to get high. No. And then there was something about a blackbird.
I don't remember that part.
4 and 20. 4 and 20.
Blackbirds baked in a pie.
I was channeling my son for a moment. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. So they're tweeting again. So the idea is, okay, you have to take the link to the tweet. So I got your link to your tweet. And then you paste it in there and you press the button, bake it. And it's getting baked, man. Okay, so it's getting baked right now. I don't know what's happening. Baking.
And I tried to do it. It was really slow
baking.
For me. So.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful Twitter infrastructure at work. Baking. Baking. There it is. It baked.
It worked. Okay, because I couldn't get
it. So is that better? Is that better, I ask you, than the screenshot? Here's what they want to give you. Here's the screenshot. This is what they want. This is a screenshot. I would just do a screenshot right from that, right? But
well,
then,
if it takes that long.
Yeah. And then they give you this code snippet. God knows what's in this thing. It's like...
Which is really long, right?
Yeah. It's like 1,000 characters. Code snippet.
I know. It's funny.
You paste that into your blog. So let me look. I'm going to look real closely now. This is what it will look like in the blog. So it's got your background. It's got a little bit of your nose. It's got the timestamp. It's got
not
your
my nose,
name.
The background.
Yeah, it's got... So that's okay. Versus what I would do is if I just went to Twitter, I could get more of you. You know, I could do it like, you know, I could get your face And it would, but you know, these links wouldn't be live. So maybe that's the difference, is that it's live links or something.
That's cool, actually. Yeah, that's neat. Yeah. And you know, I wonder, maybe I'm just, I'm so used to doing different screenshots on my computer. I mean, I do it all the time. But it's funny because I was asking my mom to grab a screenshot the other day, and my mom is fairly tech savvy, but she really didn't know how to do it. So maybe maybe I'm too immersed in a world where, okay, that's so easy for me to just grab it and upload the image. But for the average user, perhaps this is the easier way.
In a world where a woman knows how to do a screenshot, there's no room for Blackbird Pie.
Leo, you should quit your day job.
No, I know. That was from last week. That was from Whose Voice.
It was a fun show last week.
Hey, my favorite tool, Evernote.
I know.
Has
you know what?
News.
I was thinking of you when I saw this. You love Evernote. So that's a great note-taking tool. And they've just reached the 3 million user mark. And I was reading the article, and it said one of the reasons that they probably got here is because they have a fantastic iPad application, which I haven't tried out, but I was wondering if you have it.
Well, I happen to have it right here. Let me just show you.
Of course you have it.
Of course I happen to have it right here.
That was not set up, just for our
listeners. I swear. So, you can, you know, they have an iPhone app, which I've used. They have they have apps for pretty much every desktop operating system, pretty much. You know, you create a new note. The notes, by the way, can be spoken. So there's a little microphone here. You could take a picture. Of course, there's no camera on here, so I'd have to take it from my existing library. It's really great on the iPhone, though, because you could take a, for instance, I take pictures of wine labels. If I like the wine, I'll take the wine label. And then it automatically, once you save it, it's saved into Evernote. Mm-hmm. And then this automatically synchronizes with the web and everywhere else. So I have a bunch of Evernote notebooks for a lot of different subjects. It's synchronized. And so whatever's on my iPad is on my iPhone, is on my desktop, is on the web, is everything like that. You can tag it. It even has, you know, geotagging, which is kind of nice. And this is where you see the iPad really sing. Because then it can pull up a map, it can pull up the notes, it can show you, you can zoom on the map. And there's just some... This is kind of the nice interface. You can search, of course. I keep all my serial numbers and passwords in Evernote. Then I have access to them all the time. I just think that it's a really, and it's free.
It's really nice. I don't know how you feel about this, Leo. And I know we've had the guys from Evernote on the show before, but every time I see Evernote doing well, it makes me happy. It's one of those companies
because they give
that
it
I just
away.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They just have this friendly, you know, happy vibe to them.
Apparently, we're not alone because they say they just announced that they have 3 million users
Amazing.
Now.
And 8,000 new users every single day registering. That's phenomenal.
I think they just got 8,000 in the last minute.
Yeah, they should.
Because of me. So, it has encryption, so you can encrypt your passwords, which I do. I just like the fact that my notebooks are available on all the things. Every computer I use, every portable device I use, it's on my Android phone, it's on my iPhone, it's on my iPad. I mean, I think that's what you want.
Yeah. It's very
and then,
cool.
You know, we have, you know, for instance, we've had Peter, John Gruber on, Merlin Mann, and they like other note-taking apps that both John and Merlin love Simple Note.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a note-taking app. And it's like, well, why don't you use Evernote? But they say, well, it's simple. It's, you know, I like Evernote.
I think I love the simple stuff. You know, just does one thing and does it well.
Yeah, well, then you might like Simple Note. Anyway, I'm a fan of Evernote. 8,000 new users a day, 3 million total. By the way, and this is important because it is free, but you can get a premium subscription, which I think is it $5 a month? They have almost 60,000 premium subscribers. So they're actually making some money, which is great.
Right.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Leo, I have one more link before we get our guest on.
Oh, well, all right. It. Yes, let's get the site of the night on.
Okay,
is that
so
it?
For our site
is that
the
link
night,
you want to do?
Yes.
I see it in my notes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so a friend of mine who lives in Phoenix, Arizona, who listens to this show and other Twitch shows, he knows that we love talking about typeface and different fonts.
Kind of nerdy.
And so he's always sending me these interesting links, but this one is really nerdy. The site is called Not My Type, and that's not dash my-type.com. And it's a place where you can go and you can get t-shirts.
I want this one. Comic Sans is not my type.
My type. Aren't they cute? Or sweatshirts with certain little phrases on them that talk about what type you don't like. So I think I don't like Times New Roman, so I would get that one for sure. Times New Roman is not my type. This is really geeky, but I love it nonetheless. And everything, every time I see a site like this, I think of you, so I have to share it.
Now, this is a little pricey because they're 29 euros for the t-shirt, 59 euros for the hoodies.
A lot.
I don't
know.
That's like $1,000. What is, I don't know. The euros are. What is
you know what?
What?
It is a lot, Leo. But I will say one thing. If you look in the kind of faded gray in the background, it says Fair Wear Foundation, Ethical Trade and Justice for Workers. And I only noticed that because I have a friend who was going to order a ton of t-shirts and order them directly from China. They were like 30 cents each.
Yeah,
it was ridiculously cheap. And I'm seeing more and more shirts being made recently that are made by workers that are treated ethically. And, you know, not that I'm 100% into that stuff, but I'm trying to get more.
That's going
to
cost you money. And that's why they're more expensive. But, you know, we really shouldn't.
Oh, for sure.
We shouldn't take advantage of the fact that we can get this cheap stuff done by slave labor.
I know. That's what I think.
So we pay the real.
And that's why when I hear something made that cheap. Yeah, it's too good to be true, right? And I don't think we can continue to do that. And so there's a company in Canada, for example, that makes t-shirts. They're made in Canada. They're a little bit more, maybe like $25 each or something along those lines. And I know it's a lot, but, you know, at some point, I think we have to decide where we put our money. And sorry, that's my little rant for the show. No, we can move on.
No, I'm with you. In fact, if you want to know more about Fair Wear, continentalclothing.com has a page on social responsibility. And I think that's that. I have to say, I think that's good. We've talked about this before. It's just, you know, we all want cheap stuff, but by doing that, we're driving this market in, you know, basically child labor, slave labor, that kind of thing. We gotta pay for what we get.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Let's take a break. We're going to get our guest on, Edward Ayton. He's the founder of Swift.fm in just a second. Before we do, I'm going to talk a little bit about something you know and love, and that's, of course, Squarespace.com.
Oh, I love Squarespace.
Yeah. Chris, your partner, I know, uses Squarespace.com for his photo blog, Squarespace.com. Our audience is walking out on me. You can just walk. You don't have to crawl. It's okay. Nice to see you. They're from Vancouver and from Jacksonville, Florida. We had a couple of people in the audience today. And they're taking this opportunity to get the hell out of here. So if you go to Squarespace.com, wait, don't leave. I want to tell you about Squarespace. Squarespace is the secret behind exceptional websites like Chris's and many other great sites, many friends of ours. In fact, we use Squarespace for the Inside Twit blog, and I'm redesigning my website for the radio show because I needed a platform that can handle millions of listeners at once. When you do a radio show that's in 100 different cities, and they all go to the website at the same time, you can't. It's not good to have the site go down. So Squarespace for me, baby. But it's not just robust sites. They're beautiful sites, too. And, you know, a lot of radio shows use Squarespace. A lot of business people. There's Clayton Morris's site. He's, of course, on.
Ooh, his site's nice.
It's nice. It's a Squarespace site.
Really nice. Sarah Lane, I think.
A lot of our friends use Squarespace. It's just the best. I want you to give it a try free. If you go to squarespace.com/night, N-I-G-H-T, you can try it for 2 weeks. Import your existing blog. This is beautiful. WaggingTalesOfHoboken.com. This is an example. This person's not a designer, I can promise you. But they use the Squarespace templates and then use the simple drag and drop sliders to make this site look gorgeous. And you know, if you're in business, you don't have time to become a web designer, and you don't know what you're going to get if you go out, you know, to somebody and you found in the yellow pages. Go to Squarespace.com. You can do your own thing, just like Heather did, and Rebecca, and get a great site without having to become an expert on the web. Squarespace is fantastic, and because when you use Squarespace, it's as little as $8 a month. And if you use the promo code NIGHT, you'll get 10% off that for the life of your website. This is a good deal. Squarespace.com/NIGHT to try it free. And use the coupon code NIGHT, N-I-G-H-T, when you buy to get 10% off for life. great statistics.
Oh, I like how you said that.
For life. Great statistics. Great iPhone app for blogging. I just love them. We all do. We're Squarespace fans around here.
Yep.
All right. Now, let's get Edward on the line here. I believe I have him on Skypeosaurus. You know, Colleen's leaving us.
I know. I read her tweet. But she's going to Google?
She got a job at Google.
Amazing.
She's going to be a video streaming engineer at Google. You know, she told me when she came on here almost exactly 2 years ago. She was a student, had just come back from Japan, wanted an internship. I talked to her for about 5 minutes. I said, I think I want to hire you. I did hire her, and she told me the day I hired her, she said, but you know, the minute Google offers me a job, I am out of here.
Oh, and she got it. That,
so
I love stories.
I didn't
like
even
that.
Try. You know, when she said, I got the job. Because she's been applying and interviewing for a long time. When she said, I got the job, I didn't even say, no, don't leave us. I didn't say, please. I didn't say, screw you. I said, I shook her hand. I said, congratulations. I'm so happy for you. Because that's what she's always wanted to do. So, yeah.
Good for her.
But I don't know how much longer this studio is going to work because she's the only person who knows how it works.
She's amazing.
The minute she leaves, it's going to start falling up. Edward, how do you say your last name?
Ayton.
Edward Ayton is on the line from Swift. .fm. It's good to talk to you, Edward. Thank you for joining us on Net at Night.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you.
It's our pleasure. So, was this your idea? Did you come up with Swift.fm?
I did, as a matter of fact. I'm the founder and came up with this about a year ago, and it's great to have it online and being in use.
And working.
Absolutely.
Huh. It works. That's always good.
It is.
So tell us a little bit about the site. I tried to explain it off the top of the show, but I just used it one time this afternoon, so I'm by no means an expert.
Great. Well, hopefully you're on your way to becoming a super user. That'd be great for us. Really, Swift.fm is a social music discovery engine. And what we really believe is that personal recommendations are the best way to discover new music. Do you agree, Leo?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's how it all began back in the day with mixtapes and things like that. Yeah. And actually, I was at a buddy's house about a year ago when I got the idea for Swift.fm. We stayed up all night listening to music off each other's hard drives and iPods and, decided, you know, there's got to be a better way than staying up to 3 a.m. and FTPing things to each other. You send it links. There's got to be an easier way to do this. So what we allow people to do is log into their existing social networks. Right now, it's totally focused on Twitter, but we may be announcing some plans to expand that soon. And we allow you to post music to your followers. What we do on the other side is we take all the music that your friends have posted or the people that you follow, and we put it into an auto-playing radio station. So it's like Pandora, but instead of being programmed by robots, it's programmed by your friends.
Oh, that's
smart.
Really cool.
I love that. Huh. And you're encouraging artists to participate too, I see. So that's kind of good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we think that the future of the music business has to be sustainable for all stakeholders. And that means both fans, major artists, independent artists, major and minor labels. We've had some great adoption by all those people. Right after launch, it was a little scary to start getting emails from the labels, but they were all really encouraging, saying, how can we use the service? How can we have people be engaging with our music socially and spreading it around. So it's been a good ride so far.
It was so easy. I just signed up. It was so funny. All I had to do was log into my Twitter account. So there's no special credentials needed. And now I can upload, link, or search for music, and then I can tweet. And now I noticed that Amber shows up in here. And that's that because it somehow knew that Amber was my friend?
Exactly. So what it does is it takes all of your existing friends and takes all the music that they've used on Swift.fm. You can see Alyssa Milano right there. I can see her.
I follow her as well. Yeah, she likes Salt and Pepper. Push it.
She likes to have fun. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It takes it all together. So all the people that you've been following that have used it, they're already there. You know, like any social network, it's important to get good people on your service and contributing. So it's great to see that you've got a couple people there. Oh, and there's Film Girl.
I love Film Girl. Yeah, she's great. And so she's on there. So this is cool. So it just added the people that I'm following on Twitter who also are Swift.fm users. And now I have a station that is made up of their recommendations. Is that it, basically?
Exactly. And at the same time, what it does is when Leo, you know, you're uploading your, you know, sending your favorite tracks, it's going to give you a profile that you can send people to. So it'll be SwiftFM/ your Twitter username. So Leo Laporte. And, you know, if you go to my page, you know, SwiftFM/EdwardAyton, you can see all the music that I think is important and wonderful in one place.
Is there any issue with the record labels on this? I mean, I'm uploading you in music. Is that going to get you in trouble?
You know, I mean, it's definitely something that we're cognizant of. We, you know, we're in beta right now and really are following the early model of Twitter. Sorry, not Twitter, but YouTube and MySpace, where we're fully DCMA compliant.
So if somebody says take it down, you'll take it down.
Yeah, and we've had notices, and we've been really glad to take down music. It's really been surprising to me, though, is labels are a lot more interested in ways they can get their music into our catalog to be spread virally than taking things down. Again, there's always exceptions, but you know, a personal recommendation we think is the first step to buying and, you know, purchasing great music.
Edward, you've got some eclectic taste. I mean, you go from Michael Jackson doing Billie Jean a cappella, which I can't wait to hear. That sounds really interesting. To the postal workers at the University of Ghana post office singing while they cancel stamps.
I have an unfair leg up in that I spend all day listening to the best music that people are sharing on the internet. So it does get to be a little eclectic.
So I got to follow you. That's for sure. I mean, this is so cool. This is in the post office.
That's hilarious. I got to look at your profile now.
Oh, my God. So now what do I do to follow your music, Edward? Do I follow you on Swift FM or just follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, you just follow me on Twitter right now. You know, keeping things simple, you know, definitely think the constrained environment is something that that helps foster innovation. So right now it's a one-to-one relationship with Twitter.
Right. So I am now following you on Twitter, and I will get your stuff.
There you go.
Oh,
so,
this is cool.
Yeah, can you upload MP3s? Is that the only file format?
It's the only supported file format right now.
Okay. Okay, yeah, just checking.
I'm going to start uploading stuff, though. Yeah.
I know. It's fun. Now, what if you want to buy the song? Are you guys going to be incorporating something in where I can immediately, because there's some great music on there, as you said, from your own network. So is there an easy way that you'll eventually be able to sync up with iTunes or another music store?
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to be launching the full version of our program this summer. It's going to have the ability to link to iTunes, Amazon, as well as eMusic to purchase all the music.
Edward, you post so much that now you've filled my my... It's all Edward. I'm going to have to start following some other people. Is there a way to discover friends on Swift FM?
So we have featured users is one quick way to get involved with some of the really great labels and contributors that we have. The other way is actually through the channels listing. What we allow people to do is basically contribute by hashtag. So if hip hop, you tag the song you're swifting with hip hop, and you can go right there and listen to everything that the community is contributing along those lines. So
there's some discovery here, too, because if I find somebody, look at this guy's got great taste. I can follow them on Twitter, and now they'll be part of my radio, my Swift FM radio station as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is really neat. Did you do this all by yourself? Did you have a team of people helping you? How did you do this?
Yeah, so there's three of us right now. Myself, Todd Etzel, and Shane Mahoney are the three guys that are Swift FM.
Coded in Ruby, Perl, PHP? Python. I'm liking it now. Django?
You bet.
Oh, Django. See, this is cool. Now I'm liking you a little bit more and a little bit more every month. Django's awesome, yeah. So Django's like kind of Ruby on Rails for Python fans. You know what else was in Django is Pounce. Leah Culver did Pounce in Django.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, Edward, do you have a full-time job or is this it? Are you guys all focused on this?
Yeah, I do. I do have a full-time job and focus on this on the side, but it's really been taking off a lot of adoption. So we'll see where it goes. There's a lot of really enthusiastic people about it, and you know, we really think that, especially as you think about music discovery as a gateway to point of purchase, that there's a huge market to tap into here. I tell the story of, you know, I logged into iTunes last week and was presented with this huge banner for Celtic Women. You know, I may have diverse music taste, but that's not exactly what I'm into. And, you know, there's a huge opportunity that a lot of the retailers aren't focused on discovery. So we're investigating, you know, going further into that.
Now, I happen to like Celtic Women, so
Well, then I'll follow you, Leo. I look forward to hearing
you. Hopefully Leo posts some stuff soon then.
I can only think of one, but I like that kind of music. So Feature Swifters, I'm just looking at the Feature Swifters. There is a Swift FM account, so you could follow that. Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss? Quest Love, your favorite.
Are you familiar with Quest Love?
No, what is that?
So Questlove's the man. I have to say, we're really, really glad to have him on the service. He's the drummer for a band called The Roots.
Oh, The Roots, I know. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Grammy Award winners, the house band on Jimmy Kimmel. And he has some unbelievable, obscure stuff. He posts demos from The Roots in their practice sessions. Them practicing music for people as they come on to the late night show. It's great, great. A really good example of, someone's musical perspective that, I'm enthralled to be able to experience.
So look how easy this is. So I went to, I clicked the link. I see Questlove's post. I say, oh, this is great. You've got a little button that just says follow. I'm now following him. And now he's on my radio, my Swift.fm radio station, which is really great.
That's it.
Yeah. So now I've got a mix. I've got Edward and Questlove.
Yeah, and actually, it looks like you were nice enough to favorite Amber's song there. So you can also, right there, right below your tab that says "My Swift Lift," you has your favorites. So you can
see what I favorited.
Your favorite music yourself, good. Right there. So whether it's yours or other people's, just another way to sort. And hopefully, when we launch the purchase features, you can go in, buy that music, support some of the artists. I mean, it's really important that we support artists and labels. This isn't about replacing that aspect of the industry. Really important that we get that message out there too.
Well, I'd love to get more musicians on here, archivists, people who specialize in different kinds of music. That would really make this so valuable. And that's the network. That's the problem. That's the network effect. The more people who use it, the more people will use it. And it's Absolutely. Always hard to get something started like that. But I'm excited about this. I'm going to start following people on here and. I wish you all the best, Edward. This is very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much.
Swift.fm. If you use Twitter, you don't need an account or anything. You just go there, use your Twitter credentials, and now it'll find all the Twitter people you follow who are our Swift.fm users. Amber and I are probably two of them. And and now I better start adding some music. Amber, you too.
I will, for sure. I love
Celtic
it.
Celtic Women, Leo.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to love it. I can't remember. What's her name? She does the... I don't know.
Was that dancing?
No. I'll have to look in my iTunes library. That's the only problem. Is a lot of my stuff is AAC. Maybe not though.
Well, there's also search available there, and we are we're working to expand our library with the labels right now. So as time goes on, we'll have more and more stuff from the search option as well.
This is Celtic Women, Lorena McKennitt. That's who I was thinking of. It's beautiful, beautiful music. You're gonna love this. It's very. New agey.
Oh.
Edward, it's not your type. We'll see you later. Thank you.
Thanks,
you for joining
Edward.
Us. Edward Ayton of Swift.fm. Amber, this is really cool. I'm so glad you brought this to us because I can't wait to start using this.
Of weeks to have people on who still have full-time jobs and yet are doing something that they're so passionate about as far as starting a web company on the side. And these are two over the past couple of weeks, Whose Voice Is It Anyway from last week. Yeah. I think these are both have a big feature.
They're passions,
Oh, yeah.
Enya, that's another one. Enya, that's another one. They play a lot of Enya in the massage, massage sessions. It's very soothing.
It is.
That's how I know Celtic women. They're very soothing. Before we get to your final link, do we have a video for tonight?
Yeah, that's our final link of the week, actually.
Cool. Mm-hmm. A parody. But before we do that, that'll be fun. We'll play that in just a second. I do want to mention a new sponsor on the show, Go to Training. Yeah, these guys are great. Go to Training, of course, from Citrix, who do Go to Meeting, Go to My PC. They're taking that remote access stuff that they do so really, really well, and they've put it into a training tool. And if you've ever done corporate training of any kind, or if you've ever even just watched The Office, you know how bad corporate training can be. Go to Training can bring it to life, can transform your training sessions. And by the way, the trainer doesn't have to be in the same place. You can be down the hall across the country. You can even have trainers in multiple locations using that great Go to My PC remote technology. GoTo Training allows up to 200 people to take the training live, but you can record it, and the training can be offered on demand at any time. Create custom tests, quizzes, polls for your trainees. You can email from right within the package. So if you've started the training session and somebody's not there, you can send them an invite. Where the hell are you? Get over here. Get in this training session. They have a great curriculum library allowing you to upload any files of any kind so people can review these materials before, during, and after the training. Attendance taking, reporting systems. It's fantastic. Now, it's absolutely free for the first month, so please go right now to gototraining.com. If you're a trainer, you will be very interested. If you are not a trainer but the victim of bad corporate training, you might want to send a note.
Recommend it.
Yeah, to your corporate trainer saying, could you do me a favor? Go to gototraining.com. Gototraining.com. It's free for 30 days. Do a few sessions. I was in a GoTo Training. They wanted to show it to me before we did the advertisements. I was just blown away. I mean, it really is the way to do training. Gototraining.com. We thank them so much for their support of the Twit Network and Net at Night. Citrix is a big supporter. So we talked to OK Go.
Yes, we did. We had OK Go on, or the lead guitarist on this show. And one of their more popular videos is the This Too Shall Pass video. And right. That's where they had the really cool video, the Rube Goldberg machine.
You know, we had the guys who put it together?
No.
Oh, yeah. I did a special on it, a half-hour special with the director. Awesome. and the people who, there were hundreds of people involved, but the two guys who were responsible for managing, there's two stories in that video, the upper story and the bottom story, and we walked through it step by step, and they told how they did the whole thing. It was so cool. Oh, you got to look for it, Amber. It's on YouTube.
Oh, that's really cool. YouTube.com/twit.
Oh, so, well, you inspired me because we talked to him, and then I said, let's get the people who did the actual work.
Yeah,
and they told some great stories. It was really fun.
I think that you'll appreciate this parody. This is done by the Fine Brothers, who I guess they are online video makers.
They're funny.
And
yeah.
This is called Mouse Trap Never Works. And they have a lot of fun with the video. I mean, it's very professional looking. I'm sure there's people who would stumble across it and think maybe it was the original video. So they also did a pretty nice job. They use a lot of games in the video as well that are kind of like old school retro games. So a fun little parody to end the show.
All right. This is not OK Go. Just understand that. This is somebody else. Amber MacArthur, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. You get on out of here now. I know you got somewhere to go.
I do, and I will see you next week, Leo.
Great. And don't forget, you can see Amber at CommandN.tv. That's her weekly video podcast featuring all sorts of cool stuff with her brother and some other great... Is Will Pate still working with you on that, or...?
We haven't up recently, but he'll be back on soon.
Good.
I'm sure.
I love Will. CommandN.tv. Watch her on CP24 for Web Nation. And, of course, her blog is AmberMack.com. Thanks, Amber. We'll see you next time on Net at Night. Here's your video.
You took it home and you were so excited. You set it all up, then it dawned on you. Mousetrap never works.
Oh, it worked for me.
Mousetrap never works.
Works most of the time.
Did anyone ever really try to play this game? Rolling dice and building it piece by piece. Everyone I know would just build it all at once. Screw the mice, we just want the machine. But mousetrap never works. Mousetrap never works.
Oh, come on. Mine always worked too.
So now you're older and you reminisce and you take the game off of the shelf to play.
He lives in the same house? Well, they grew up there.
You said it.
No. Guys made a